Melissa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website, www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show today. Well, it is fantastic Thursday. It says something about those Thursdays. Well, it's the day before Friday. Friday tends to be a day in our minds, somehow started years and years ago when we were just little children, and Friday became the day of the weekend, start of the weekend, which meant school is out, maybe no homework, fun, fun, fun for the weekend. And so these habits, they carry over until our adult life. And then we get jobs, and the same kind of scenario happens. We work all week. Many people work at jobs that they don't really like, let alone love. They're in careers that they don't enjoy or like or love. And there you have the weekend. And so, well, here we are, right back here at Thursday. So good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, this is the Coach Lalisa Show, and I am Coach Lalisa J. Williams. I am overly, overly excited about all that is on the horizons. And you should be excited about what's on your horizon. But see, that's just it. You have to put something there for it to be on your horizon. Okay? Some people, I know, some people are waiting. They're waiting for something. I'm not quite sure what, but they are waiting. So remember, here on the Coach Lalisa Show, we don't try, we don't wish, and we don't do a lot of waiting either. Just get up, get it done, do it fast, do it now, do it, just get it done. So we banned the WWT, almost sounds like a wrestling federation or something, the WWT, the wishing, waiting, and trying. Now, that's not to say you're not going to wait on God. We understand that, but a lot of times God's waiting on you too. So you're not the only one who waits. God is waiting to see if you're going to do what he's already given you to do. He's going to see if you're going to use what is already in your hands. What do you do? Now, some people, our topic for the show today, in case you don't know, our topic today for the show is, I want to help you, I want to talk about, and hopefully you know you'll see yourself in this, or you'll see how this can benefit you or help you. But what we want to talk today about how to find the job you love. How to find the job you love. How do you find work that you love to do, or a career that you just love being involved in, or that industry that you just really admire? How do you do that? What are the steps? What does it take to get that done? Well, we're going to talk about that on the show today. We'll be doing that over the next 57 minutes or so. No, more like about 52 minutes or so. You know, how do you do that? What are the steps? Well, the first step, I believe, the first step to finding the job that you really love, that you don't mind doing, that you actually want to do, that you're not just doing it for the money. Because some people have been led to believe that if the job pays the money that they love to make, because, you know, people have a certain salary attached to what they want to make because they have a certain lifestyle that they want to live, and then that sort of motivates them to go after a certain salary. And then the salary will motivate them to go after a certain job. But we're not just talking about how much money you want to make. And for some people, that has a lot to do with doing the work that they do. But oftentimes, the research has shown that just because an individual makes a large salary, let's just say six figures or so, it does not mean they absolutely love what they do. And many people are miserable. They make the money that they want, but they spend the money trying to hide their misery. They spend the money trying to cover up their real desires, their deep-rooted passions. And so we want to try to help people out of that scenario. If you're already there and you're stuck, well, we want to help you out if we can. So lots and lots of things are just, I'm telling you, it's just a wonderful, wonderful time to be in right now. There's great diversity right now. You know, we still have people living in abject poverty. And by the way, individuals who are living in poverty could get out of poverty if they could tap into what they love to do, possibly. You know, there's a saying that says if you do what you love, the money will come. So possibly they could get their way out. You know, here's the thing. You're waiting on God to deliver you or set you free from your state of some kind of financial mishap. But he's waiting for you to use the gifts and talents that he's giving you. And so whether you're in poverty or not, it doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter. It really does not matter. All you have to do is watch a couple of those TV-type shows to learn about people's backgrounds or read people's biographies to realize that where you start is not as important as where you end up. And it's not as important how far you get in life, but you can really look at how far you've come. You see, some people, they're about, so maybe in their lives are about, if I was to use some kind of measurement, let's just say they are only about a yardstick away from where they started in life. In other words, you were already born into a stable household. Things were financially stable and there was money for you to go to college, and you had parents that were in their right mind, because, you know, some parents are not, let's face it, but you had parents that were, and, you know, they did some things and put some things in place, and they tweaked and they molded and they shaped your personality, and you end up graduating high school and just going on into college, and you got into college and then you got a degree. Well, and you're successful that way. Well, there's like a yardstick of difference in where you started and where you are. But then, you know, take someone that was born in an abandoned building and left for dead, and some parent that really wasn't still out of their mind found this person. And, you know, the person was, the parents did not have money. The school was a struggle, and every day was a challenge to overcome and get through. And by the time they got to high school, they had already dealt with so many real-life traumas and traumatic situations. But yet, that person triumphs through and graduates high school anyway. But there's no money for college. There's never even talk about going to college. But somehow, one day, something changes and someone gives them a break, and they end up going to college. And from there, they discover something, some amazing talent that they have, and voila, they discover something big and really launches them into a wealthy state, so to speak. You see, now you can measure where they started to where they end up with not just a yardstick, but a whole mile long measuring tape or something. So that's what it's, you know, when we look at people and we look at success in people, you know, some people are very successful, though it may not appear that way. So back to finding a job you love. And good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. How do you do that? How do you find the thing that you absolutely love? I mean, if there's one message that I will take to my grave with me, is this message of helping people find work, career, business that they love to do. I don't know why that is so important to me, but I guess I do know why. And because it bothers me. You ever have something that just bothers you? It just really, you know, gets under your skin, or as we used to say back in the day, that gets on my nerves. You ever had that happen? Some people are like that when they see homeless people. Some people are like that when they see people hungry. Some people are like that when they see little children being abused. And some people are like that when they see married couples fighting and arguing. You know, everybody's got that thing. Do you have a thing that gets under your skin that just really upsets you? Well, for me, it is people who don't get an opportunity to do what they love. Now, let's just say you're a person that it doesn't matter to you. You don't care about doing what you love. You love living life doing what you hate, because there are people who are on jobs that they absolutely hate. They really, I'm telling you, it's really bad. I met these people. I've talked to them. I've discussed their situations with them. Some of them have been very sickly people with various stresses. And, you know, stress, too much stress, the wrong kind of stress, can cause a lot of medical complications, including cancer. It's well known. I'm not letting the cat out the bag, so to speak. It is very well known and very well documented. But there are people who, for some reason, maybe in their way they were brought up, in their psyche, from childhood, it's just understood that it's okay to work a job 30, 40 years in doing something that you loathe, that you do not enjoy. Well, here comes little Lisa. You know, I told you, my mother gave me that name for a reason. I'm just different. I just can't accept that, doing something that you don't enjoy doing. And especially when I meet so many people and have met so many people who have found their way, so to speak, through the maze. You know, like Who Moved My Cheese? We're looking through a maze, and the cheese represents, you know, what we want in life. And the maze represents where we look for it. Well, that's what I want in life. I want to not only do what I love, and I'm doing it, and that's why I'm up every morning on the Coach Lalisa Show, because I absolutely love doing this, and helping people to do what they love, because there can be such satisfaction. And that satisfaction translates into peace, and that peace can translate into joy, and that joy can translate into fulfillment, and that fulfillment can translate into I'm filled up and now I'm overflowing And that could translate into, now I'm spilling out on others and really making an impact and a difference in the world, in the society, even in your home. And even in our homes, we should be spilling over on the people in our houses. So for me, I'm like, woo, thank you, Lord. He gave me one person to spill over on to. You know, I think about people like Barbara Branson. She had to spill over on about 8 people. And at any given time, she had 8 people to spill over on to. And then, of course, once her children were grown and they all began to have children, and then she had like 24 to spill over. And then those kids began to have kids. And the numbers, before she passed away in 2005, the numbers were up near the 40s that, you know, she had to spill over onto them. Well, I have my one immediate person to spill over onto, and then there is my stepdaughter. I have to spill over onto her and my little grandson, Jeremiah. And so it is with us. You have to be spilling over. But, you know, I don't understand that these individuals who go to work every day or they work somehow where they hate what they do or they don't love what they're doing, how are they getting the peace and the joy and the fulfillment so that they can spill over into someone else's life? Now, what you could do, you could start from the other end. You could begin to be fulfilled and then, you know, work your way back to the joy and the peace and the happiness. You can start off with, you know what, I'm gonna be filled. I'm gonna get filled with what I love doing, and so that then I can be joyful and happy. Because here's the real deal. Here's the truth of the matter. Regardless of whether you're spilling over something good or not, you're still spilling. Whatever is in you is you're filled up, and you're spilling over to the people that are around you. So if you ever want to take a test to see what's coming forth from your life, look at your 5 closest friends. That's all you got to do. Take your 5 closest friends. I mean, you could do that now, actually. You could take a moment, think about that, get a pen and paper out, write that down. Look at your 5 closest friends, and now look at what's being spilled over. In both ways, that is, you know, what they're spilling over onto you and what you're spilling over onto them. Some people I know, they don't think of it like that. But just think about your 5 closest friends. What are they? And then now look at what's the conversation? What's their thought pattern? What kind of life are they living? What's their emotional and mental state? And what's their spiritual state? Your 5 closest friends. You know, someone once said that you will be like your 5 closest friends. It's something to think about, especially as it deals with your children. Now think about the things that your hand is in. What are you doing? Well, we want to talk today about how to find the job you love. How do you do that? Okay, so it starts with, here's the first thing you have to know if you're going to find the job you love. And again, you know, this is just my opinion, because I believe that there's something fulfilling in life. There's something special, almost a miracle of sorts, to be able to spend this life in a job, getting paid to do what you love. I mean, we have to work. There is no doubt about that. I can't jump out there in that car without money. That ain't going to work. Can't even, the day before, I got up, I had a flat tire, a slow leak or something. I went to the tire place, and I couldn't just roll up in there and say, could you fix my tire? Okay, thank you, see you later. No, the man wanted cash. He wanted money. So we know we have to work. We're okay with that. We've gotten past the fact that we could just relax and cruise the Caribbean forever, okay? Sit back and eat fancy foods. We understand that's not going to work. But here's the thing. So we have to work, right? Everybody, we all have to work doing something. whether you run your own business or you work for someone else, you have to do something. So why not do what you love? I mean, it's really just a matter of choice. It really is. But you know, choice starts with knowledge. You know, I was teaching last night, and the subject matter fell on the rational decision-making model, because we're talking about management in this particular chapter, and we talked about, you know, the four basic functions of a manager, which is leading, organizing, controlling, and planning. So under law, planning, leading, usually it is labeled planning, leading, organizing, and controlling. And under the planning function, you can't make a plan without making a decision. So the two go hand in hand. Planning, decision making. Can't make a decision. And you can make decisions without making choices, but the better decision will be the one where you know what some of your choices are. For instance, if right now, if Drew came running downstairs, there's a fire, I don't need to make a choice about what to do. The choice is made for me. I'm going to run out the door. So in that kind of a scenario. But when it comes down to, okay, let's remodel, you know, our basement, or let's add an addition onto the house, that kind of a decision. Now let's look at some choices. You know, there's choices in what we could, how we do it. Same thing with starting a business. You're looking at, well, where am I going to get funds? Well, you have to look at what are the choices for funding. Oh, you could save your own money. You could have your credit good enough to where you could go get a loan. You could ask family members to invest in you. You can ask strangers to invest. So, you know, there's alternatives. So finding a job you love is like, you know, you're making a decision. But you got to know your choices. So what are the choices? So there's two choices, basically. Either do what you love or not, okay? So you have to work anyway. You have to make money one way or the other. So the first thing is to know that that's a choice that you're making. I'll choose to do what I love, or I'll choose to not do what I love. I'll just go for something that I don't love, that drives me crazy. You know those people that they hate their jobs? I do. I see them every single day. I know some of you are wondering, Lalisa, you see a lot of people. I do, because I go a lot of places. So in case you were wondering how I get to see so many people, I go a lot of places. I go, you know, between the college and the day job and going to other people's businesses, going to various networking opportunities. I do. I really do. Think about that for a second. I really do. I see a lot of people. And when I'm around them, I talk to them and I listen to hear what their complaints are. And over the years, I just hear a lot of people who are not happy with what they do. And that's one of the motivators that motivated me for the show today. So how do you find what you love? Is there such a thing? Can you find a job that you love? Should you find a job that you love? You know, why is it important? Why does it matter? Who cares, right? Who cares if you find a job that you love? It's not like there's a test that you're going to have to take later, or, you know, it's not like someone's going to come around and give you, you know, give you a questionnaire to see if you found the job that you love. No, it's an internal thing. It really is a very personal thing. It has to be a decision that you make. However, if you ever wanted to do it but just was afraid, because there are many people who did want to do that. You know, it seemed nice when they seen other people doing it, but they were maybe afraid to do it, or maybe they didn't know how to do it. And that's why I'm talking today about the steps. So the first step in doing that is knowing you have the choice to do it. So that's step one. Just knowing that you can do it can sometimes really, really, really help. Another thing that you have to do is you have to try to decide early on if you're going to do this or not. You know, don't wait. Don't wait too late. Try to make up your mind early on in your career, you know, right out of college or what have you, even earlier than that if possible, if you can get your high school students to begin to think about tapping into their skill sets that will allow them to one day get a job they love. That's step one. You know, because, you know, here's the thing. Most people do know that they want to be happy. Most people know that, right? But most people don't realize that happiness is a choice. It's not something that just happens. Happiness doesn't just happen. It's not something that just happens to you. It's actually a choice, something you have to step out and do. You know, and I'm always reminded of a quote by Mr. Ralph Waldo Emerson, who said that what lies behind us and what lies before us are small matters compared to what lies within us. You see, and that's what you got to get to. Get down to the what lies within us. What do I really want to do? What am I really passionate about? So step one is knowing that you have the choice to do what you love. And then the next thing you want to do after you make that choice, now you want to discover what's really deep down inside of me. What is it that I really would actually enjoy doing? What would I love doing? If you would love sitting behind a computer entering data, then do that. So then do that, okay? So first you're going to make that choice, and then you're going to dig deep inside to see what it is you enjoy doing, okay? That's taking that inside look. That's that releasing that inner power, because you're going to see what's inside. Now that you know what's inside, now you can begin to build on that. Build on whatever is inside. Like for me, I knew one of the things that was inside of me was that I love helping people go to their next level in some kind of way. I figured that out. It took me a very long time to figure that out. You know, that's because it was hidden behind so many other situations in my life. It really was hidden. So it took me a very, very long, and that's what can happen when things are not exposed to you early on in life and choices are not shown to you when your little situations in life and experiences in life can actually hide the true you. Again, the hint, the book, 8 Strategies for Becoming Who You Really Are, because we have to get past what is hidden there. There is something there, but it has been hidden by situations in our lives and traumas, bad relationships, hidden by beliefs that we have and we hold about ourselves that no longer serve us any purpose, any real meaning, but we hold on to these beliefs because, you know, grandma said it or auntie said it or great grandpa told us or mama or daddy. We hold on to these beliefs, but they're no longer applicable, I should say. You know, you have those, you know, on jobs you have those standards that don't apply. They're just non-applicable. Well, in our life, we still are running on belief systems that are non-applicable, and we don't know how to get rid of them. So we need to kind of release our power and become who we really are. So we want to build on the things that are down inside of us and get rid of it. So we're going to build on that. We're talking today about how to find the job you love. Now, I'm calling it job. You can call it work. You can call it business. You can call it, you know, you could, there's choices. You have choices of the words that you want to use, but I just so happen to use job. And it's really, really important to me. Believe me, you, it is so important. As a matter of fact, it is what I will be talking about at several speaking engagements that I have coming up. Telling people now, for instance, when I go to Arts High School next week, I will be speaking at Arts High School to their senior class. I'm going to be talking to them, and, you know, that will be an undertone somewhere. It'll come out, I'm sure, as I'm talking to these young people. And I've given them my speech title and because you have to choose a topic that you're going to talk about. And that's the topic I'm going to present to this group of students who are on their path to college and going to get a job. And, boy, seems like a great time to infuse this into their minds. Let's look at some things we love doing, people, and not just going to school, spending all this money to do something that you feel is going to make you a lot of money but bring you absolutely no happiness. But when I go there to speak to the youth, I don't know exactly what I'm going to say, and I don't know how can I possibly know. I have not met these students yet. I mean, I can prepare a speech, and I have something prepared to share with them and a couple of quotes to tell them, but I don't know what I'm going to say. I haven't seen them yet. I haven't met them yet. I don't know. When I look at one of them, an idea may spark at that moment. I may see two or three students gathered doing something, chatting about something, behaving in a certain way that may spark an idea or something for me to present to them. And that's the way I speak. Yes, I always have something prepared, but I also leave myself open for the audience, unless I know the audience ahead of time. If I know the group ahead of time, it's totally different. I don't too much have to wait for sparks because I already know some of the personalities and some of the dynamics. But whenever I go to speak to a group that I've never met before, I don't, prepare the speech to the point where it can't be adjusted. Because once I get in the room and get into the energy of the audience, I don't know what I need to say at that point because I haven't yet met them. I haven't. So in other words, I don't yet know their needs. I mean, a lot of times, yes, God will give me something ahead of time as it relates to the group that I'm going to speak to. But it's something magnificent about the crowd. So usually, if anyone knows me and if you've ever invited me somewhere to speak, and by the way, if you'd like to go right ahead, I will much oblige. But if you ever know, I am the speaker that will show up early, or I will never be late unless there is a circumstance that there is no way I could manage that circumstance. But it is my desire to always get there early and then meet the people. I absolutely have to do that. I don't get there, even whether it's preaching, motivational speaking, a workshop, it doesn't matter to me. I have to get there, and I have to get into the room and sense the energy of the people, and even talk to them and ask them questions. I don't know. I just feel that that's just how I do it, so I don't know. But I love this. I love what I do. I love speaking. I love giving people, a message that will spark some new idea for them. I love giving people a message that might open that door to allow them to make a plan to take some kind of action in their life or some type of plan that they can put into motion. I'll give you a prime example. I know a lady that I've been knowing this woman for 4 years. No, a little bit longer. Actually, I've seen her for a couple of years, but we never got a chance to speak other than just walking past each other and saying good morning. And you never know. You just never know how you're impacting someone's life. That's why, I mean, really seriously, you really have to be filled with the right stuff. And so this young lady, we've seen each other, and then we began to work together, and I thought, wow, this person is so mean. One day I'm going to have her come on the show, and we can talk, and she can tell you for herself. I thought, this is the meanest woman I've ever met. She is so un-nice. She is so not nice. And I said to myself, I would never do anything with this woman. She's just so mean. She's so not nice. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, those words, boy, did I end up eating those words. I am literally helping this woman start her own business. She wants to come to my business seminars that I haven't even started doing yet. Okay? I mean, she reminds me every couple of weeks or so. Did you start that business yet? I mean, did you start having those workshops yet? Don't forget, I want to come. I'm like, okay. Here's a person who, she's like, you know, I mean, actually sat down and showed me her long drawn out plans of some business she wants to patent, and if I could help her find a way to get patent. And I'm telling you, just so opposite from what I had seen, you see. So you never, ever know. I'm telling you, the least expected person, you just, you don't know. So I said all that to say that. But because I absolutely love, and you know the whole law of attraction, I'm sure it's at work. Because remember, what you enjoy, what you want, you're actually bringing that to you. So I'm sure I attracted this woman to me since I love helping people who just aren't there yet or who doesn't have it. That's what I love. I love helping people who have it all together and, you know, are already at the top of their game, but they just need to go a step further. I adore that as well. But there's something attractive to me about people who are just starting out that don't have and they don't know. There's something, I don't know, Paul probably has a word for that, or he probably has a concept for that. You know, he's our resident filmmaker and director and movie star. You know, we have a movie star in the house with us every weekday, Monday through Friday, Mr. Paul Kiriazzi, and it is truly, truly, truly an honor. It is like my ultimate honor to have Mr. Paul Kiriazzi tune into this show each and every, I won't say morning because for him it's nighttime. It is my sheer honor, don't get it wrong, that each of you tune in, and that there could possibly be other movie stars who, and, you know, people who tune in. But, I mean, a real celebrity already in his own rights has produced several films, many films, and is here every Monday for this month. He's been doing the Living the James Bond Lifestyle series. And if you missed one, two, and three, part one, two, three, please go back and listen to those. They're very, very good, very entertaining, but at the same time, very informative knowledge that you can use right now. And then, of course, the part four is coming this Monday. So we're all in great anticipation for part four coming this Monday. I will be here with Bells on. So we just wanted to acknowledge him, but I certainly acknowledge each and every one of you. But, I mean, nothing like having your own personal celebrity each and every day. So good morning, Mr. Paul Kiriazzi. And by the way, he has several websites, so please, please, please go on over and take a look up at his websites to see exactly what he has to offer. So getting back to this, doing the job that you love, and one of the problems is that a lot of people, you know, are just forced to take any job, you see. And, you know, some people actually feel that, well, everybody can't do the work that they love, because if everybody did what they love, there's a lot of jobs out here that nobody would love doing, so who would do that? Well, that is one way you could look at it, I guess. But there's actually people who love digging ditches. And by the way, I was talking to some people, and I did learn that if you are looking for a job, you just want to work and make money. You may not love doing this, but you just, at this point, you need that gas in the car and you need that rent paid, and you just want to take a job. At that point, you're not trying to figure out, do I love this or not? You got bills you got to meet. Amtrak, I hear, if you're in the Northeast, I don't know, maybe across the country they're hiring. I guess if you got to lay track one place, you got to lay track somewhere else, but you can look it up. Amtrak is hiring, and if you're in the New Jersey area, I just found out that Pitney Bowes, you know, that's the, they used to make all of those adding machines and things of that nature back in the day. Remember adding machines or calculators, whatever you want to call them? And all other types of equipment they make, office, mostly office-type equipment, business equipment. But, yeah, who knows what they're into today. You know, companies today are so diversified, and they could be into a lot of things. But I hear they're hiring if you're in the New Jersey area. and the Marriott Hotel also if you're in the New Jersey area. But again, you go to their website, it could be around the country. Now, sometimes you can take, believe it or not, a second job to find out what you really love to do. One of the ways I found out what I really enjoy and love doing is through volunteer work. Because a lot of times through volunteer, you're not making any money, so you pretty much are free to go and do something that you enjoy. I mean, why would you volunteer? I mean, who would volunteer to do something they hate doing? But maybe, I guess you could, but I didn't. I volunteered doing something that I absolutely loved doing, and it turned into a job. So, you know, it can really happen. Many times, in order to find a job that you love doing, it is going to come as you are doing the job that you may not like. So in other words, I'm not telling you to, you may be in a job right now that's paying the bills, paying the mortgage, keeping your standard of living up, and you may not love it. However, don't stop there. See, too many people stop there, and that's how they get to never, ever, ever live in this place that I'm talking about of satisfaction and joy in doing what you love. They never experience that in life. You know, that's like a person, you know, who goes to many, many fine restaurants, but they never experience the finest meal on the menu. You know, they just never experience it. Or you move to a city or a state and you never experience the finest thing in that town where you may be. Well, some people go through life like that and they never experience really doing the work that they love. Because they sometimes get on a job and they stop there. Well, I'm saying get on a job. You need to because we need money. But while you're there, continue to look for the thing you love and then do it when you find it. Even if you can only do it in a very tiny amount, just like one little centimeter. You know what 1 centimeter looks like? It's very, very small. So only if you could just do 1 centimeter of what you love, and you have to spend, you know, a whole big gigantic mile worth of things you don't love, you're still going to find that your life will change. It'll never be the same. You will change and you'll never be the same when you begin to do something that you love. And you may find that in tapping into what you love doing, even if it's to that 1 little centimeter, you may find that that will grow and spill over and consume everything else that you're doing. You know, I teach my students at the college where I teach business courses. I teach, you know, what's there in the textbook for them to learn. You know, they're there to learn about the dynamic world of business. They're there to learn about the economy, the global environment. They're there to learn about how companies are structured, whether they're centralized or decentralized. They're there to learn the, you know, functions of a manager and the marketing and finance. That's what we cover in business, this particular business class 101. But I'm also there teaching them things they can do every day on their jobs. And so one of the things I teach them is how to, if you are a manager, I'm teaching managers right now, I'm teaching managers how to tap into the talents of your staff. That's what I'm teaching now. How to tap into the talents of your people. And we had some fun last night on that subject. And just about every student in the room, there's about 14 or so of them, and they all work. In this particular class, all my students work. And just about all of them, I mean, you should have seen their eyes. They were in amazement that this concept was being brought forth, because in most people's jobs, they don't see that they are being tapped into. Now, what you typically see, and probably in most companies, from some of the research that I've done, that let's just say there's 5 employees. 1 person is being tapped into by the manager because that's who the manager likes. And everyone else is just going for their own, going for themselves, trying to fend for themselves and probably feeling offended and sometimes feeling that no one loves me here, that kind of thing. So I'm kind of teaching them that, okay, it is what it is. You can't change it. But when you become a manager, make sure that you tap into all of the talents, skills, and abilities of all of your staff, not just the ones you like, not just the ones who are like you, and not just the ones who perform the way you perform. Go to the one who is the exact opposite of you. Go to the one that you're saying in your mind, oh, I would let them go if they just give me the go-ahead. And as soon as I can fire that person, they are out of here. So I'm doing the whole, talking about paradigm shift, I'm saying go to that person. I'm always, you know, because I'm into motivation, so it's my whole thing is, well, let's see if we can motivate them. And I guess because I happen to know what motivates people, it's pretty easy to do, right? You just find out what motivates them. That's all. You know, you tap into their motivation. You know, ability of most companies, they just focus on your ability, okay? They look at people and say, okay, I see you're capable of doing this. We're just going to focus on that. Very few companies are able, and leaders and managers are able to tap into a person's motivation or even tap into their attitude. They stop at the ability. So you have the ability to do this. Okay, great. You know, you have the ability to run these charts. Fine. And that's where they stop. And, you know, but they're missing out on so much of that person's real, you know, deep talents by not going a step further and looking at their motivation. Your motivation is what determines what you do, okay? When you see people doing things, that their motivation determines, your motivation determines what you're doing. So tap into that person's motivation, and then your attitude, according to Lou Holtz, your attitude determines how well you'll do at it. I remember when I was in grade school, boy, I was lousy at school. I mean, really, just straight F, basically. Maybe every now and again a D. Once or twice in my whole, you know, years of schooling, from kindergarten to the 11th grade, possibly a C or two. One or two, that's it. And see, because I had the wrong attitude, and I didn't even know I had the wrong. I had no clue. No one ever told me that, Lisa, your grades are poor because of your attitude. You know what they told me? They told me, your grades are poor because you're dumb. You're dumb, or check this out. I heard, your grades are bad because you're bad. And I know this is what children are being told today. No, I don't have to go out and do research. No, I don't have to go out and read a bunch of studies, okay? But, hey, Arthur Nicole, stop by. Thank you. Yeah, okay, wonderful. Arthur, I'm glad you did that. I can see why. Mm-hmm. You need a job badly. Okay, well, stay tuned to the show, and we're going to be telling you how to get that job that you love. Sounds like you're already on your way. I really believe that writing is my job. Good. Well, you're writing. So there you go. Do what you love, and you know the rest. The money will come. And so instead of being told that I had this attitude problem, no. Because, see, that's something you can work on, y'all. You can work on your attitude. When somebody's telling you over and over that you're bad, I mean, how do you work on that? I don't understand. I don't know. I mean, being good, I mean, what does that mean? It's still about changing your attitude. You know, so especially if a person's dumb. Okay, I'm dumb, but and I didn't realize that it was my attitude. I didn't realize I had an attitude problem. It was my attitude that was causing me to think the way I was thinking. Okay. And Nicole is welcome guests in the chat room. Welcome. And so it wasn't until the other night as I went to this big meeting for the Newark public school system, and all these teachers and educators are all around. And it wasn't until I was there, and I happened to be sitting next to a history teacher, social studies, professional type, sitting there, has been teaching this for years and years, 20 years or so. And we began to talk, and I shared with him how I had dropped out of high school and how in school my grades were horrible, 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 horrible. The worst, 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 worst. And then when I went back to school in 1990 at age 33, I get there and I say, you know what? I'm going to learn. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to take everything the teachers say. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to sit up front. I'm going to look right dead in the teacher's face. I don't even want to see the other students. I don't want to hear them laugh and joke and play or whatever they do. I always sat up front, dead center. And I want it very personal, as if the teacher's talking right to me. And sure enough, that's the way it appeared most of the time. And I'm going to be here every single class, and I'm just going to soak, soak, soak. Sure enough, I did that. I got straight A's. So I shared that with him, and he said, yeah, because you changed your attitude. And I went, wow. Didn't even. So it took me until I'm 50, almost 60 years old to realize this great truth. So you know me. Now I got to go tell the world. Now I can't wait to get to Artai. Now I can't. Now I'm like, I'm going to be knocking on the door of Central and Shabazz and 13th Ave and Camden Middle and every school they will let me in. Do you hear me? I am going to scream it from the top of the world to these young people. You just have to change your attitude. You want to get straight A's? It's your attitude. You want to love your job? It's your attitude. You want to do a great job at what you do? Just change your attitude. Now, it took me all the way back to a motivational speaker that I learned of about 15 years ago. Can't think of his name right now. But he launched this entire program entitled Attitude is Everything. And, I mean, you've heard people say your attitude determines your altitude. We've all heard that. But can you internalize it? It doesn't matter just to hear it and quote it. It sounds great. You have to internalize it. And so now it has been internalized. Now I understand that your attitude really is everything. And your attitude about anything could change everything about something that you're working on. Yes, your attitude about anything can change everything about something that you're doing. You've got to get that attitude right. Got to get the attitude. That's it. Just change your attitude. So I suspect that once, before it's over and done with, this whole attitude thing is going to help people in other areas of your life, you know. So it's the relationship area. It's the finance area. It's the health area. It's the education piece, the career piece. I believe that once you change and hit that's like hitting a home run. If you hit a home run in that career area, changing that attitude is going to spill over in all the other areas of your life. And before you know it, it's just going to be simply, simply amazing. So for those of you who are tuned in, if you want a book on poetry and education, there's an author, Nicole S. Brown. She is a teacher who had a job and lost her job, kind of was booted out by a jealous principal who never supported her instructionally or disciplinary-wise. And now she's a published author. She has written 7 books of poetry. She wrote 2 books of poetry about education, 2 about her life, and 1 about love and 1 about God. She really believes that her job right now is in writing, and you can connect with her on Facebook. She also, I believe, has a website, yes, author Nicole S. as in Sam Brown dot YOL A site, S. YolaSite.com. So go check out Nicole S. Brown. Thank you, thank you. She's the author. Oh, wow, look at that. She is the author of Who Do You Love? And many other books. Who Do You Love? Okay, so Who Do You Love? We're talking about Do What You Love, and it will all come together. Good morning, good morning. Now, tomorrow, we said that we're going to have the tax man will be here tomorrow, Mr. Ralph. We also have the career success seminars coming. So if you are in the New Jersey Northeast region, you can come on Thursday starting in April. We're going to launch with the first Thursday in April will be the launch. Please tell everyone you know to come to the Newark Screens right there on the corner of Bergen and Springfield Avenue in Newark, New Jersey, where I will be there conducting a workshop seminar. We have other people that are also going to be helping teach and help people get to the next level in their careers. We have Miss Tina Lane, who is also going to be there helping out, teaching some of the workshops. We'll be there for 1 hour every week for 6 weeks. The theater is opening up their theater to us. It's at the Newark Screens on Thursdays. The series, we're going to be doing a series, much like what Paul's been doing here on Mondays, 4-week series, on living the James Bond lifestyle. Well, I'm going to be doing a 4-week series on career success. So we're going to be talking about jobs and interviewing, how to interview, how to fill out applications, both online and offline, how to get the job, what to do once you get the job. And after we talk about what to do once you're on the job and how to keep the job once you get the job, or how to get promoted or those things, and then the series, that series will be over. And so we'll hopefully be looking to do other series. Well, we will be doing other series, put it like that. Also, for those of you who are coming on March 12th, don't forget, Saturday, March 12th, we're doing the first International Christian Northeast Writer and Publisher Convention. The tickets are only $30. However, if you decide to go to the Women's Empowerment Book Club's dinner afterwards, some of us are going, I'm going, many others are going, that dinner is $16. However, if you purchase the dinner tickets, I will give you a 30% discount off of the convention because it's still all in the same family. And Miss Diana Flagg, who orchestrates the book club, she will also be at the event at the Publisher Writers Convention. So if you know anyone who wants to write a book, sell a book, network, hey, Miss Nicole S. Brown, if you're in the New Jersey area, stop by. Come on by. I will be at the Wyndham Hotel in Newark, New Jersey on Routes 1 and 9 from 9 to 3. And then dinner is going to start at, I believe dinner is starting at 4 or 5. But not too far away from where we're going to be. So that's on March 12th. Tomorrow, Friday, we'll be in Teaneck at a gospel event. So if you want to come, inbox me on Facebook. Anything else that you would like to participate in, if you would like to join, oh, don't forget, mark your calendars, June 24th through the 26th. The Releasing Your Inner Power Convention is going to North Carolina, Greensboro, North Carolina. It's done. It's going today. We are so excited about that. So if you're in the, if you can make it to North Carolina, March 18th through the 20th, we will be in Atlanta, Georgia. So stay tuned. We may be coming to a city near you very soon. I'd love to meet you and help you further in finding that job you really love. So don't forget, it's a choice. Make a choice to find the job you love. Dig deep inside to see what your talent, skills, and gifts are. Build on those talent, skills, and gifts, and then put it into action. Put it into action. Go do it. Go do it. Knock on every door to where you think that talent, skill, or ability could be used. Keep in mind that you got to be motivated, because without motivation, it. So do something that motivates you. Don't forget to have the right attitude. Attitude is everything. Remember my story of getting the poor grades in high school, but then going on to college and getting straight A's. Why? Because the attitude had changed. Change in attitude. Well, folks, that's all we have time for. It's been great. It's been real. And we'll see you back here tomorrow. Don't forget, you got to keep moving on up. And your goals will take you to the destiny of your dreams. Good morning. This has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.